It is a great blessing to be here. He's a dear friend of mine, too, by the way. I really can kick myself for forfeiting many years with not getting to know a lot of the old Baptists better. And I've known Brother Paul, but we've never grown as close as we have in the last year or two. Amen. So, and I hope it does nothing but continue to grow, brother. And our fellowship with the church here, I would that it would grow and we would prosper together in the things of God. Brother Paul has mentioned the necessity of prayer. It's not merely optional. It is necessary that you pray. The Lord seeketh such to worship Him in a certain way and to lay upon Him our cares, our desires, our needs. And our needs right now are spiritual needs. God has a spiritual kingdom. It is so contrary to the worldly kingdom. And many of God's children try to intertwine the two, right. And yet they are so separate as light from darkness.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is, and you know, folks say that Jesus Christ came and changed the world. He did not change the world. The world's the same, isn't it?
Right.
It's still a bad place. The world was Christ's enemy. He said, it hated me. And He tells His disciples, do not be surprised if it hates you. If you walk like I did, it's going to. He didn't change the world. But He came into the world for a particular reason and purpose, of course. But the world is not my friend. I have Amen. Learned this the older I get. And I find that the Son of God in the Scriptures, along with the apostles and every writer, the foot of the Son of God is still on the neck of my flesh and blood. He will not let it up. I don't want Him to. I do not want the Lord God to let up on me, so as I could rise above where I should be. Because as long as He has the foot on the neck of my flesh and blood, my pride and vanity, I'm where I should be.
Right.
So my only rising, I want to be in the things of Christ. And that is the only way I want to rise up. Don't mean I don't love my life. I love my dear wife and family. But this world's not my home.
Amen.
And it's contrary to a spirit in me. And so is my nature contrary to that same spirit. I have the same tendencies you do. There are things that I long for, covet, that are not good for the well-being of my soul. Because the soul is where the joy comes from. Temporal things have their place. They are used up in time and they're gone. They will not last. They are not eternal things. They are things of life and time. They will not proceed on into heaven. The only things that are enduring are the things of spirit, the things of God. Those things never die. We only come to a greater fullness of them later on. So when John wrote to a man named Gaius, he said, I would that thou would prosper in being health, even as thy soul prospereth. So if you could take an evaluation of yourself today and you could prosper and your health would be identical to how your soul has prospered, would you be sick in health or would you be really healthy?
Great point.
Would you be taking medication and coughing? Yeah. I've got a cough now. So maybe that's the indication of my soul, but I do have a bad cough, so forgive me as I will have to cough some during this. But it is a good way to think of how physically healthy would you be if it was compared to your spiritual health. So
right.
The word as, which we found just then, as thy soul prosper. The word as in the Scriptures, and a lot of times it means for us to compare.
Yes.
So when the word as is used, it will teach us to look at a certain event in the Bible, normally. Well, not normally, but always. Mm-hmm. And compare it to another event. So when Jesus Christ said, as Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So there is a comparison of Jonah in the belly of the whale to Jesus Christ being buried or in the tomb in the heart of the earth.
Right.
Now, we know that the whale vomited out Jonah. We know that in Isaiah, the scripture says that thy dead men shall live. They shall rise with my dead body, and the earth shall cast out her dead. So, as the earth could not hold the Lord, at the command of God, the whale vomited out Jonah. At the command of God, the earth gave up the Lord. At the command of God, the earth is going to cast out her dead. We can see a relation to all this.
Right.
The Lord Jesus Christ also in John 3, chapter 3, said, as Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be raised up, that whosoever believeth on him shall have everlasting life. So there is a relation to those bitten. Now there's a good lesson in this.
Yes, sir.
Not everybody needed the serpent in the wilderness. Now those bitten did. And they looked upon the Lord for healing, or looked upon the serpent for healing. So when Jesus says that,
amen,
not everybody needs a physician, but the sick do. Mm-hmm. The Lord is lifted up for a peculiar people who have peculiar problems and peculiar needs, because they have a peculiar spirit. They are peculiar people unto God. That's what Paul says they are. So as Moses raised up the serpent, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And you see this all through the Bible. As the hart panteth for the water brooks, even so doth my soul pant for thee, O God. So the word as is a means to compare. It gets us to stop and think that there are lessons that we can learn by events in the Scriptures that we can put and see the things of God, the resurrection, the crucifixion. All right, so my text is in the 54th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. So if you got your Bibles, I've tried to do this more. Some folks at Buffalo Church, my wife included, she is a great note taker. And sometimes she, during our meeting, she'll write something down. She knows I'm dealing with something. And I remember Elder Harold Hunt was preaching at Buffalo Church. And this was, I think, the first time he was been back in several years. And I was struggling with a certain event in life on what to do. And his text was, thou shalt have him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. And she wrote that on one of those little index cards. And that's one of my Bible markers now, by the way. And she handed that to me. So if you're a writer and you like to keep up the Scriptures, I will try to allow that time to do that. And tell you where I'm going to go. So remember the word as. The 54th chapter of Isaiah is a wonderful, complete chapter on the covenant of grace. It starts with it and it finishes with it. It is, there's many ways and many things we can go to in other Bible, in other parts of the Bible, to relate to some of these scriptures. But I'm going to primarily stick with one. All right, this is in the ninth verse of the 54th chapter of Isaiah. For this is as. So the word as there is for us to understand God is going to compare something with something. And at the end, there is a clearer picture for the people of God. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace. Now remember, the covenant of my peace. This is God's peace. And God's got to do something to take care of His own peace. And I guarantee you, He did not look to you and I to take care of His own peace. He could not look to you and I to take care of His own peace. But God had to be at peace with us. And when we had to be at peace with God, and there is only one way, and of course, you already know the way. I'm not telling you anything that's new. Just remember the title. God titles His own covenant. The covenant of my peace. This is what it is. He's going to tell us how it comes about. We're going to compare it. We're going to see it to the, in the waters of Noah. We're going to be able to understand clearly how God works. And the folks that are under the covenant of God, in whatever covenant there is. There are several covenants in the Bible. This one here, though, is a great comparison to the covenant of my peace. He says, "Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." And then he goes into a... He goes into somewhat of a description of the people under this covenant. Mm-hmm. "O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and I will lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates or agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all the borders of pleasant stone, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Great shall be the peace of thy children." The only reason is great shall be their peace is because it is a covenant of my peace. Mm-hmm. It's because of God's own covenant.
Yeah.
All right. "In righteousness thou shalt be established." And I'll stop reading there. So we have a good description. But we're going to compare to the 9th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now remember, God says, "As the waters of Noah are unto me." The covenant of God's peace is compared to the waters of Noah. Now, in the 9th chapter of the book of Genesis, in the 9th verse, or the 8th verse, let's start with the 8th verse. "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying..." Now this is after the waters have abated, and where God makes a covenant with all mankind and all animals of the earth that is still intact today. And you're going to see that the covenant of my peace is compared to this one. "God spake to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant." Mm-hmm. Notice who the establisher is. "I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you." Notice it doesn't say "I would like to," that it would be nice if you'll let me. You will not find any language in here that God is compelling these folks under the covenant to allow Him to do it.
Amen.
He does not ask them for permission. He does not ask them to accept this covenant or it will not be intact. He merely says, "I will establish it."
Right.
"I'm going to do it with you. You will be the beneficiaries of this covenant because I'm going to do it." Nowhere will you find that they had to believe for this covenant to be intact. Nowhere will you find that they had to produce any kind of works or anything before the covenant can be intact. The covenant was intact because God put it there. He established it Himself. It is His covenant. He has a right to make it with whoever He wants to, whenever He wants to. And at this time of history, God made a covenant with all mankind, and also the animals. I have a German Shepherd, Charlie. Brother Paul and Sister Sonia have met Charlie. He's a part of that covenant, still. He still is. All of your cattle, all of your dogs and cats, the fowls of the air are still beneficiaries of this covenant. I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood. And he's particular now, isn't he? God gets particular. This is my covenant is with all mankind, but it's with a particular situation. The waters of a flood will never cover the face of this earth again.
Amen.
That is God's promise. Now, there's still flooding, you say. Yes, there is. But does that make the covenant obsolete? It does not.
No.
It has not covered all the face of this earth again. It will not cover all the face of this earth again. The Lord will come back before, and this will never happen because God has promised it will never happen. All right. So in the covenant, we find God being very specific, showing us that He has made His own and established His own covenant with all mankind and all beasts and fowls of the air. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, all right, so we have the covenant. The covenant comes before this next part. The next part, I want you to know, is not the covenant. It is not the covenant. God has made the covenant. But God just don't make something and then leave us without any evidence of it.
Amen. That's right.
God does not just do something and say, I'm going to leave you blind about it.
Right.
All right. So God not only makes the covenant, but He is going to give us a token of the covenant.
Amen.
And that is a witness, a proof, something that represents the covenant. So Brother Paul, if he was to come over and help me, say I was building a building, and Brother Paul said, Brother Kevin, I'll be over there and I'll help you. I hear he's a good carpenter, and with everything he puts his hand to, he seems to be quite successful. So I'd be glad for him to come help me. So he comes over and he helps me. And I'm cheap. Say I'm cheap. Well, and I give him a pocket watch, and I tell him this is a token of my appreciation for what you've done. That's not my appreciation.
Right.
My appreciation's in here.
Yeah.
It is bundled up in my heart. My thankfulness to my friend for coming to help me. Did I say watch? I meant to say a knife, because you probably need a knife more. A pocket knife. You need both of them. A pocket knife. I give Brother Paul a pocket knife. I say, this is a token of my appreciation. It's a proof of it. It's a witness of it. Something I give him to show him how much that meant to me. Alright. So God said, this is the token of the covenant, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations, that is no end. That is
right.
Ongoing. It keeps on going until time stands no more on this earth.
Amen.
I do set my bow in the sky. I do set my bow in the sky, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. You got to look up to see it, don't you, Brother Paul?
Yeah, you do.
You can't walk around with your head. You don't see the reflection off the grass. You have to look up to see the bow. And the bow shall be in the cloud. I will look upon it. That I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the face of the earth. Do you realize that every time that you see the rainbow, God looks at that same rainbow?
Amen.
Still today.
That's right.
And there's not one that ever is appeared or comes upon this earth and appears that God does not look upon that particular rainbow and remember His covenant He has made with all mankind.
Yep.
Now, God says, the covenant of my peace is like this one. The covenant of peace God did not ask permission to do.
Right.
He merely established a covenant with a people that God has chosen to make it with. He chose here to make this particular covenant with all mankind and all living beasts. His covenant of peace is made with a particular people, for a particular people.
Amen.
And there is an object of that covenant, or there are the objects of it, and then there is the one who is going to secure it.
Right.
There is the one who is going to be the peacemaker. Because the covenant is as this one.
Right.
Now, the way an individual knows they have a part in the covenant is there is a token that goes with it.
Amen.
There is a proof of it. There is something that God gives to show them that they are a part of a covenant that God has made with them, for them. And it is the covenant of my peace, God says. It is truly an agreement God made within Himself.
Amen.
And there are beneficiaries of this agreement.
Yes.
Now, the beneficiaries of this agreement that God made within Himself, let's just face it, they are by nature the children of wrath. Folks have the wrong idea concerning the covenant. Folks would like to say that the token is what makes the covenant. And that is wrong.
That's right. That is wrong.
That is a wrong way to look at it. The covenant's intact. The token is proof of it.
Amen.
So what does God give His people? What does God give those under His covenant of peace? Who forms that covenant? It was God. Mm-hmm. It was God Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all three of the God, the Trinity God, the Triune God, formed this covenant. And not only did they form it, but they worked it out.
Amen.
They completed it. They are the mean. That's why God can bring peace to Himself. God had to bring peace to Himself. You and I couldn't. There's no way in the world. In fact, when Paul talks about Jesus Christ coming into this world, in Romans chapter 5, there's three particular descriptions he gives of the people under the covenant. But notice the descriptions. Three things that he calls us: ungodly, sinners, and enemies. Ungodly, sinners, and enemies. So do you think God looked to the creature to secure His own peace?
No way.
He could not. Amen. He could not look to the creature to secure His own peace. It was impossible for God to ask us, if it's all right, if this covenant works for you, then we'll make it happen together. Right. That is the major theme in religion today, that right. God wants to save. God wants you to be a part of the covenant. But He cannot look to ungodliness. He cannot look to a sinner. He cannot look to the enemy to reconcile things unto Himself. But He did look to a man. His own man, the daysman. We sang about the daysman today.
Yes, sir.
The Son of God is the way of peace. And a lot of the songs we sang this morning very well describes that. In Isaiah 53, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and the Lord laid upon Him the iniquities of us all. Well, who is under consideration? Oh. All we like sheep have gone astray.
Right.
All the sheep were unholy, sinners, and enemies. Just like the wicked. By nature, there is no difference. There's not a single solitary bit of difference. If you have a nature, when Paul said that the carnal mind is enmity against God, do you know what the word enmity means? It means an active hatred.
That's right.
Against someone or something. Don't sound much like a mind God can depend upon to change.
Right.
God does not compel the sinner to change. God does not ask the sinner to bear the token in order to be a part of the covenant.
Right. Amen.
They are a part of the covenant. The token is going to be the proof that they are.
Amen.
Now what Christ did, what Jesus Christ did on the cross was make peace. Paul said in the Colossian letter, therefore, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now, Christ had a cross to bear that you and I will never bear.
Amen.
You have one, but it's not his. Therefore, making peace by the blood of his cross. How was peace then made to God? How was the Father who was full of indignation and wrath against sin? How was he satisfied? The blood of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That is the only answer to that. That is it. And you can lock that away, put it away. Nothing will ever be added to it. There is no other way God will be at peace except God brought peace to Himself. Jesus Christ had to be made like unto sinful flesh. He had to come like us. Only He was without sin. He had to bear the wrath of God. The Son of God, this was nothing that was joyful other than the fact that it was a joy set before Him. That the reason why it was a joy, because of His covenant people. The love that God had to His people is amazing. That last song, well, not the last song, but one of the last songs, I can't remember, but if the ocean were ink and,
yes,
and every writer a scribe, you could never drain the ocean dry by writing about the love of God.
Right.
It is an unfathomable love, folks.
Amen.
That God could love somebody like me. It's unfathomable. Now, the covenant of my peace is a covenant God wished to establish within Himself. Purposely done it. Purposely carried it out. Purposely finished it.
Amen.
And just like the waters of Noah, God made them with a particular people. Now, to know that Christ died in your place will be shown by token. Go to the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Now, notice the language. The language of the Scriptures are far from what most people understand them to be. The language of the Scriptures never lead somebody to believe that they must produce the token in order to be a part of the covenant.
Amen.
They never do.
That's right.
They always show us that the token is proof that we are a part of it. So, Galatians chapter 4. Paul said in the third verse, So we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the times would come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under a law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Now, notice this. And because you are sons, not in order to be sons, there is a vast difference.
Amen.
The sons and daughters of God have always been sons and daughters. Now, just because He says sons here, and the song itself a while ago saying, bringing many sons to glory, woman has always been represented in man. And it's the same way here. So when he says sons, that does not leave out the daughters of God. But because you are sons and daughters of God, because you are a covenant people of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in you.
Amen.
As a token.
Yes, sir.
As proof.
That is right.
As eternal life. As you are a part of the covenant. Proves that to you. You know, God don't need the proof.
Amen.
It proves to you who you are. Mm-hmm. He has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, mm-hmm, whereby you cry, Abba Father.
That's right.
How else are you going to cry, Abba Father, except by the Son of God dwelling in you?
Amen.
And if He be in you, He's never going to leave you.
Amen.
If He be in you, you are at peace with God. There is such a peace that God has with you because of the indwelling of the Son of God, the Holy Spirit within you. It is a covenant that can never be altered. It can never be changed. None can fall out of it. None can get into it.
Amen.
That's right.
The token of that covenant is the witness, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That did not make us the children of God.
Right.
That bore witness that we have always been, even though we were sheep gone astray, we were still sheep. You have always been sheep. And I think the 100th Psalm, it reads like this. We are the sheep of His pasture. We have not made ourselves.
Right.
But it's He that hath made us.
Right.
But you've always been sheep. I made an error one time when I first started preaching. And it was... Oh, gosh. Brother Ken Mallard. Now, you know, some of you probably remember Brother Ken Mallard. Mm-hmm. Brother Ken is no longer a Primitive Baptist. But I had in the stands... I can't remember what meeting it was, but for some reason he was there. I made a very foolish, but it was on ignorance on my part. Nobody ever really just taught me yet. And the comment I made, I'll always remember until, and if I ever lose my mind, I guess I won't, but I said, God has made all of the sheep out of the goats that He'll ever make. Don't even sound right. That reason don't sound right because it's not.
Amen.
No. Yeah, a goat is different than a sheep. They've always been different. Now, even though the sheep act like goats in the sense of our sinful nature, there is a distinct difference between God's covenant people and the rest of mankind.
Right.
So, without a token, a witness... in somebody. In other words, if there is no Spirit of Christ in them, how in the world can that individual ever cry out, Abba Father? Well, they can't. You can't get them to. I mean, you can make them say the words and you might give them some fear, but you can never make them feel. And that's a great difference.
Amen.
The token is a witness. Behold, I give you a token. Now, if you look at the token a little more clear, now this me and Ginger talk about this quite regularly. The rainbow. Now, I'm not talking about what people have it representing today, which is to me is mocking God to its
Amen.
Fullest.
Yeah. Amen.
And I do not wish to cover that part, but you know what I'm talking about. All right. But that is not what the token is meant to be.
No.
You know that, don't you?
Amen.
Right.
So the rainbow. The rainbow is a token. Now, I'm going to work the gospel in this a little bit too. Now, if you say, what is the purpose of the gospel? We're going to show the purpose of the gospel. But first of all, to the token that we have, the witness that we have that God gives us, is likened unto the rainbow. He said it is. The covenant of my peace is as the waters of Noah unto me. I swore they would never flood again. And the token I gave is the rainbow. Now, there's one part of this I have not quite yet figured out. I do know this, that it starts with the color red. The visible spectrum. We learned this in school. There are seven distinct colors. There are seven spirits of God. There are seven days of the week. It represents completeness. I don't know any greater completion than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is a complete work. It is a finished work for a covenant people, and their token inside them is a witness that they are a part of Him. Now, but notice even what God said concerning the bow. Now, there's a few things concerning the direction of And I've never in my life, and I live, Brother Paul knows where I live, in New Johnsonville. And we have about 10 acres, the majority of our land is to the west of my house. There's a hill on the west, but I have a good view of the western sky. The eastern sky is not quite as in view. There's more woods on the eastern sky, but I can see. I have never viewed a rainbow in the western sky. Now, they say they can be, and science, the science of it, I understand, it can be. But as we start discussing, and folks in Buffalo Church, they especially one sister in particular, she said, "I've never seen a rainbow in the western sky. It's always in the east." And indeed, I Googled it. You can Google anything. And they said the vast majority of rainbows are in the eastern sky. The western sky can bear them, but the sun has to be at a particular angle for the bowl to be seen. And they talked about the... But I know there's been rain at nighttime, and there's still moisture in the air in the morning. And I still have never seen a bowl in the western sky. So what do you mean by this? Well, if we understand when the Lord said, "As the lightning shineth from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." I expect He's going to come from the east. Mm-hmm. The temple had its opening at the eastern side.
Right.
To see what? The rising sun.
Yep.
You see what I'm talking about? Most every good thing comes from the east. The sun rises in the east. The bow is set in the east. The opening of the temple and the tabernacles were in the east. The tribe of Judah camped on the east.
Daniel prayed to the east.
We have a lot that goes on. Christ looks like coming back from the east. There's a lot that goes on in the eastern sky. The rainbow is one of them. That will be the majority of the majority of times where you'll see it. If you ever see one from the west, tell your pastor and he can tell me. I like to know. Now, again, I don't say there's just not any. I'm just saying that the vast majority of them are in the eastern sky. Mm-hmm. Calvary was due east from the opening of the temple. Mm-hmm. It was. And you remember what... When Abraham was going to offer up Isaac, and God stayed His hand, Jehovah Jireh, He called the place, which says, "It shall be seen from this mountain." Literally, you could look out the temple door, and about 1,000 feet, there was a crucifixion that took place. Mount Moriah is where Abraham was. Mount Moriah is where the temple was built. Mm-hmm. Everything ties together in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So they can look east, see the crucifixion of Christ. You can look east, see the sun rising. There's all kinds of things in the Scriptures. But we have to move on. but the bow, the rainbow, they call it a phenomenon. Meteorologist label it that. It does have science. Now, it does have science to it. And I love when science just proves God's right. Because true science does.
Amen.
Now, we use the word "as" again. In the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy... Let's go to that. Let's read a description of God's doctrine. Now, a doctrine is the form of understanding something. All right. So God gives a doctrine. God gives a gospel. God gives a word. Now let's see what He compares it to. 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, 2nd verse. "My doctrine shall drop what? As the rain. My speech shall distill what? As the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb. As the showers upon the grass." So notice what the gospel is compared to. Moisture. Gospel is compared to moisture. All forms. Dew, rain, gentle showers, all the things. Now we can really think about this and understand what rain does for the earth. Mm-hmm. You know what though? The earth was created to produce fruit.
Amen.
Amen.
There is a good lesson. The rain will do no good if it hit the moon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See what I'm saying? But when God, the light just came on. I can see my wife better.
Amen.
But when God creates something to receive something, then that creation can bear fruit. Mm-hmm. Because of the reception of now what comes down upon it. But until God creates something to receive it, so unless, if you're created in Christ, you are able to bear fruit unto God.
Amen.
But not before.
Amen. Right.
Not before. All right, but we do see though that the doctrine is compared to moisture. Now, when the rains pass, they stop. It does not mean the moisture is gone. There are molecules, millions and billions of water molecules suspended in the air. Mm-hmm. All right, what does it take in order for the image on the other side of the water to form? It takes light.
Amen.
It takes the beams of the sun itself. When the sun pierces through the clouds, it is by reflection and refraction that on the other side is an image produced, which is called the rainbow. Called the rainbow. You cannot have an image of the rainbow without light.
Amen.
It must be there. It is one of those ingredients that must take place before the image can be seen. Now there is a good lesson in that for us.
Yeah.
Now, what the rainbow then displays is a beauty and a token. If we are to look at it under this covenant here, every time one comes up, we'll think, my God will never destroy this earth again. Because His covenant promise to all mankind says that He wouldn't. This is proof of it.
Amen.
This is proof. Right there. Now, let's go to the book of Revelations. First chapter of Revelations. And then and we're going to go to the first chapter of Ezekiel. I just want to show you what somebody sees when they are in the right frame.
Mm-hmm.
And the first chapter, this is the only verse I really wanted out of it, on the 10th verse. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, in other words, John was where he should be and in the right frame of mind. And being where you should be and in the right frame of mind can produce the image or the token, another proof that you're a covenant child. Mm-hmm. And when you see it, you'll rejoice.
Amen.
You'll rejoice in it. All right, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, we have the seven churches of Asia and the teachings that the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on to the fourth chapter. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get a view of heaven, when you get a glimpse of heaven, you're going to see here how John describes at least a part of this. A door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was a trumpet talking with me. And he said, come up hither. Now, wouldn't you like to hear that from time to time?
Mm-hmm.
Come up hither.
Amen.
Now, John's alive. John's on earth now. John's not in heaven.
No.
John is on earth.
Amen.
But he is going to get heavenly views.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's in the right frame and where he should be on the Lord's day. And it's called that day for a reason.
Amen.
It's because it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's His day. First day of the week.
Amen.
The Lord's day. Come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. There he goes in almost a different realm.
Yep.
A feeling to which there will be a token, which you have light, you have the gospel, which is moisture, and it produces an image. When the Son of God pierces in His own Word, when the Son of God, when the light of grace that comes and beams from Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only, pierces through that doctrine that drops as the rain, it produces an image on the other side. I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow around about the throne. How about that? Hmm. How about when the Lord gives you a view of your token? Hmm. How about when the Lord opens heaven itself and allows you to see a rainbow around the throne of God, where God dwells? That is, this is a glorified Savior now. The reason He is glorified, because He was a covenant-keeping Savior. He was a perfect Savior.
Right.
I mean, he's already, the victory's won. He's not, Jesus Christ is not trying to get people saved. Jesus Christ has saved His people.
Right.
He has saved His covenant people. Amen. And you have a token of this covenant that gives you and bears witness that you are the children of God. And this comes out more when the Son of God pierces through your clouds of doubt. And it goes through and here the gospel, the doctrines of God that are suspended in there, and the beams of the Son of God go through and produces an image on the other side. It shows you the glory of Jesus Christ in heaven. There is where you can rejoice.
Amen.
That's why people say, and what Paul said, God forbid that I rejoice in anything except Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that's why this realm of the spiritual kingdom is so far above and beyond. But we see pictures of it.
Yeah.
You know, and Paul said that the invisible things of God from the beginning of the world are clearly seen. It don't say barely.
Right.
It don't say just a little bit. They're clearly seen by the things that He has made, even His eternal purpose and Godhead. Yep. And this is one of them.
Yep.
It's one of them. There's many of them. This is just one. All right, go to Ezekiel. We're about to draw this to a close. First chapter of Ezekiel. So you see how John saw a vision of Christ, a rainbow around the Son of God. Imagine that. Because it's a covenant of peace. He is our covenant of peace, friends.
Amen.
All right. So the first vision that Ezekiel sees in the vision, Ezekiel chapter 1, this this priest says, and I'll just skip over to the 28th verse, because this is the one that's very particular. So he is given a view in heaven itself, kind of like John. He is given a view of God. And he says that it was as the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell upon my face. John did somewhat the same thing. When the Lord spake to him, he said, I fell down as one dead.
Mm-hmm.
But Ezekiel specifically says that the bowl that he sees is like unto the image of the glory of God. Why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it be? All right. So without light, you have no bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's imperative. As Peter said, as the day spring and the day star arise in your heart.
Mm.
You see that? What is the day star? It's the sun.
Mm.
That's the only star that matters. It's the sun. When he arises in your heart. All right, what if you're under the sound of the gospel? What is it like? It's as rain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. There is a moisture then when the day star arises in the heart, pierces through the gospel that reflects on the other side the image of the glory of your Savior. There's not a better image on earth.
That's right.
Now that produces a testimony, a token in us. As you see in Ephesians. We'll go to Ephesians and 1 Thessalonians and that will be it. Ephesians chapter 1 says this. And this, again, notice wording. Wording has a very important place in the Scriptures. When wording is placed properly, it means something very good. And you can understand it. So, Paul says this. That in the dispensation, the 10th verse, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And we're still waiting for that dispensation, that time. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. There we have the covenant. He does things because he wants to.
Amen.
That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. No.
Mm-mm.
The gospel of your salvation. Now that makes it personal.
Right.
Now you can preach the gospel of salvation, but it takes the beams of the Son of God piercing through the moisture of the gospel to produce the image on the other side for you to know that it is the gospel of your salvation.
Right.
That is particular.
Yes.
And that is when it becomes sweet. That's how important our gathering together in a church congregation is. Can you imagine how when God exposes such a beam to everybody who is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? Can you imagine if we all had the view at one time of our eternal Savior? There He is on the throne in heaven, the rainbow around Him. And there we know that we have a token. We have a token that we are part of that covenant. Somebody could ask you at that time, would you trade this for $10 million? You say, no, I would not trade it. What if I was to give you 1,000 of these worlds? I wouldn't trade it. This is how important it is.
Yep.
This is how important it is to the child of grace, when he sees this properly, it puts him on shouting ground. This absolutely separates the child of God from worldly ties, flesh and blood. All of his games, sports, ties and treasures of this world go right down. Just like Isaiah says, he cast them out like the moles and the bats. You cannot have them both. I will guarantee you this. I have tried to work out a formula to where I can have these views and visions and these testimonies and tokens and still have my heart set upon worldly things, it will not happen. You have to lose to gain this.
Amen.
And this is the assurance of this. Now, I'm not saying you have to lose to be a part of the covenant. I'm saying to be able to eat and drink the blood and body of Christ to the point where you are assured that you're a child of grace, you have to lose to win that.
Yep.
Jesus said it himself. He said, if a man doth not deny all that he has, forsake himself and take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. But now, those who do, there are rewards. What are the rewards? He says, I write these things unto you. Why? That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. That is what I'm talking about. It's the joy of Christ.
Right.
That is true joy. All right, so the last one's in 1 Thessalonians. And this is the effect now of the gospel. Remember, Paul said the gospel of your salvation. Let's finish reading that just a little bit. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Mm-hmm. Now you have an inheritance in heaven that is undefiled and fades not away. An earnest, in real estate, we deal with what we call earnest money.
Correct.
It is a portion that the buyer puts up, but it is not the full. It shows good fidelity. It gives the seller good confidence that the buyer is not just fooling around with him.
Right.
So earnest money gives confidence to the seller. But the seller will not get the full until the house has paid off the transactions and is complete.
Right.
All right. I will not enjoy my full inheritance as long as I'm on this earth.
Amen. That's right.
But I can get the earnest of it.
That's right.
I can get a portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can get good fidelity, which gives good trust. And my trust is not in myself.
Amen.
My trust is in my Savior.
That's right.
So that the gospel put in its right place produces the right image. It produces my Savior, the bow around Him. And that's what I glory in. All right, so 1 Thessalonians reads this. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren beloved, about election. No.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing, brethren beloved, your election.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing, brethren beloved, your election. For our gospel. Now what do you got to have to produce the image? You got to have light. You got to have the Son of God. You have His gospel about Him, the words about Him that go right along with your experience and bring you a fresh testimony, a fresh token. That way you know, brethren beloved, your election. There is a great difference. Because the elect are the people of the covenant, by the way. And I don't know how many they are. I know the Bible indicates it's a number no man can number, but God can number it.
Right.
Don't ever think God don't know. We might not be able, but God knows. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in Holy Ghost and what? Much assurance. What is the assurance when you see the bow? What is when you see the bow? It is an assurance God will never flood this earth again, is it not?
Right.
It's a token. It's an assurance. So what is the gospel? It's the same thing. It is your assurance. And you know of your election. I can't think of any greater place to be than in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Amen.
And the Son of God to beam through my clouds of darkness. Because I still have flesh in here. And the Son of God to pierce through that. And then it reflects and refracts through the gospel itself and the image on the other side. The image on the other side, friends, is your glory and nothing else. And may God grant us all the grace to lose ourselves. May God grant us all the grace to serve Him acceptably. May He give more grace that we may be able to submit. The more you give, the more you seek, the more you find. That's the words of Jesus Christ. The more fruit you bear, what happens? The Father purges you that you bear more.
Right.
Well, the more fruit you bear then, what happens? The Father purges you that you bear more. What's the result? My joy is in you, your joy is full. Let the world do what it will. Let your bank account go up or down, what it will. Let trials and tribulations come, what they will. If you have this, and you can see the testimony and token of your salvation as often as you can, then you will be ready. you're just ready, aren't you, brother?
Amen.
And the Lord comes, and I think He's coming from the east. And we'll get to see a good view of that for sure. May God bless you, and I appreciate the invitation.